So like I said, I want to invite Dave up to share our message with us today. And do you want the clicker?
Yes.
Okay. Let's do that. And Dave's going to explain a little bit more why he's talking today.
Good morning. So I'm going to talk to you today about my own personal journey of prayer. Before I do that, I want to talk about a little bit of just what it is that prayer is. This is not my saying. I don't know where I got it from, but I love it. In its natural state, humanity is at prayer. So all of humanity is at prayer in its natural state. It's an essential part of the human condition. Every single religious tradition has some method of prayer, right? So if we look today at the Muslims, they pray 5 times a day. If we look at Hindus, they have prayer beads. Right? We've got the tradition of meditation in the Buddhists. Okay? So it seems like every different religious tradition has some method of prayer. Right? Even today, as we have more and more atheists in the world, I have atheist friends who meditate more than I do because they find that to be something that is important for them to get them through. Right? The fundamental thing here is that all of humanity is reaching out and striving for something other than themselves, something higher than themselves, something beyond themselves. Okay. In the tradition of Christianity, we have a specific take on prayer. And our take on prayer is that when we pray, we are praying to move more into communion with our God. That's the part of the Christian tradition. That's what we do. That's why we pray. I know a lot of you are probably wondering, why did John invite me to talk today about prayer specifically? Before I begin, fair warning, I grew up Catholic. Like, really Catholic. Like, really, really Catholic. I went to Catholic grade school, St. John's School in Monroe. I went to Catholic high school, St. Mary's Catholic Central in Monroe. I went to Catholic college, JIS, multiple. I went to Christian Brothers University. I graduated from Siena Heights University. My degree from there is in religious studies. Then I went on to Catholic graduate school, and I have 9 credit hours in graduate theology from St. John's University in Collegeville, Minnesota. There's one more thing. That's me. About 6.5 years ago, if you can't see, I'm wearing a collar. I was not a priest. Not a priest. I was what's called a brother. This is my preferred picture of that time. So what a brother is, it's kind of like the male equivalent of a sister. You know, the ones who used to wrap you on the knuckles if you went to Catholic school. Right? That was kind of what I was like. Okay? And I did that for about 6 years. With a group, a religious group, here in Toledo and out east. So that's in a nutshell why John invited me. Because during that time, I had some awesome opportunities for prayer. I had a whole year where the whole focus of that year was prayer. Okay? And then as I moved beyond that year, I was still afforded other opportunities for prayer. Now, before I go any further, there are some pitfalls that are my own personal pitfalls. These are things you may hear me say about prayer. And the reality is that I don't mean them, but I just have a tendency to do this. And I want to be clear up front, this is not what I mean. You might hear me universalize my prayer, right? You might hear me say, every Christian needs to do X. I don't really mean that. Right, one of the worst things we can do is tell somebody, you have to pray this way, without further thought of why. Why are we praying this way? Right? When God formed us, he formed us as unique individuals. Everyone will pray differently because we are unique individuals. My prayer style is not your prayer style. Right? Your prayer style isn't my prayer style. It shouldn't be your husband. It shouldn't be your wife's prayer style. It's going to be unique. There is some commonality, but it's going to be unique. This is one of my other personal pitfalls. Took me a long time to work through this one, but I still fall into it sometimes. I don't need to offer a prayer petition because God already knows. Right? God already knows what I need. So I don't need to pray that, right? Except for there's the model of our Father and then Paul in 1 Thessalonians, right? The model that we're given as Christians, the four types of prayer that every Christian ought to offer are prayers of adoration from the Our Father, hallowed be thy name, right? That's the first. Every Christian ought to be offering prayers of adoration. Prayers of confession, forgive us our sins, right? We confess we've done wrong. We ought to confess that. We ought to pray for forgiveness. The third one, this is where I fail often. Petition, sometimes supplication, you might see it written as that. These are the prayers where we say, we need this. Give us this day our daily bread, right? Give us what we need. And then finally, this isn't in the Our Father, but it was an important part of what Jesus taught. And Paul said it best in 1 Thessalonians. He said, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Right? These prayers of thanksgiving are something we ought to be offering. Now again, that might sound like I'm universalizing, but your prayers of adoration, confession, petition, and thanksgiving are going to look vastly different from mine. Right? I find when my prayers of petition are at their best, are literally at the end of my prayer, and I just say, I want to remember this person, this person, this person. That's it. Those are my prayers of petition, and that's when I believe that I'm at my best, is when I'm praying for those. And the last thing I want to say is not every prayer form is perfectly valid. Not every prayer form is going to be perfectly valid. You have to test your prayer. And you're going to know your prayer is a valid form of prayer by its fruits. If you feel like you are getting into a better relationship with God, then your prayer form is probably valid. You also have to listen to others. So if somebody else is telling you, you know, your prayer is taking you away from your family, your prayer is taking you away from your job in an inappropriate way, then maybe it's time to think about changing or altering your prayer style. So what do I mean? What do I think prayer is? This is my original definition. It's not really mine. I took it from about 30 different sources. I combined it into one. And this is my definition. It's a time of intentionally being in communion with the Trinity in order to develop a relationship with our God. So today we read from John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. In the desert, in ancient times, there was a group of monks, and they developed a very particular take on John chapter 1. And this is, by far and away, this has become one of my favorite verses in the Bible, because when I read it with this take. In the beginning was the Word. If you could say that there was a beginning when God sprang into existence, God spoke one word, and God has only ever spoken this one word. God has never spoken another word other than this one word. And he's also never stopped saying that word. That word continues. He continues to speak it every single day. And it's just been one word. The second part of that verse, the Word was with God. So not only did God speak that word is a physical thing. It's something that we can touch. And the Word was God. The Word is Jesus Christ, right? So God spoke one word. The Word was love. And that word is a physical thing. It's Jesus Christ, right? And then even more so, the whole Trinity is contained in that one saying. The Holy Spirit is the outflowing of that love between the Father and the Son, right? And we're called into that same communion, right? God extends his love to us today, right? In the Psalm, Psalm 19, it says that their speech goes out through all the earth, right? The Holy Spirit goes out through all the earth. He is the speech. And he speaks to us, and we're drawn into that communion. And that's what we do in prayer. That is what prayer is. So how do we pray like that? So when I was a kid, I was taught to pray. Can anyone know this one? Justin, go ahead, say it. Now I lay down me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Okay, so that's really good, right? Now the problem with this is that sometimes as adults we're still caught up in this. I know some really great and holy guys. Every day they pray the rosary. That's it. That's their prayer life. Every day they pray the rosary, right? Because they were told when they were, you know, young men that that's something they ought to do, right? So this is great. This is great. We ought to be teaching our children this. We ought to be joining in these formulaic prayers, right? But this isn't it. This is only the beginning of prayer. We're called to move beyond this. This is the second stage. We've got a list, and I'm going to pray my list, right? I've said, now let me know. I want to pray for Bob Evans. He has a fungus on his toe. I want to pray for John McDonald. His cow died. And I want to pray for the Burger King family. Right? That's it. I'm done. Right? I can go to sleep. Okay? Again, this is something we need to offer. Right? It's in the Our Father. It's something that Jesus told us we ought to be doing. We ought to be praying for each other, right? That's part and parcel to who we are as Christians. But it's still only a beginning. We need to move beyond that. This is another one, right? John said this 2 weeks ago, right before he headed off to Hawaii, singing is praying twice. It's oftentimes attributed to Augustine of Canterbury. Around the year 500, what he actually said, John, was that singing is praying, and singing well is praying twice. But Martin Luther also said singing is praying twice, and he said, as the old saying goes, singing is praying twice. So sometime between, you know, in that 1,000 years between the two, there was a little modification of this one, right? Singing is praying twice, right? So I also know some guys, really holy guys. These guys live in monasteries and like all they do is pray and do some work, right? They pray like literally 9 times a day. And for some of these guys, singing is praying twice and like the only time they pray is when they're singing, okay? And they were actually told, well, that shouldn't be all your prayer. You need to move beyond that, okay? And they're actually working on reforming that. It's a really good saying, though, right? Singing is worship. Worship is a form of prayer, okay? And here's another great thing about singing. Sometimes I'll be driving in my car. I like to drive with the radio off. But I'll find myself singing a church song. And if I turn my head and I go, that's a church song, and I make that intentional, that's a great form of prayer, okay? The religious group I was with, they had this thing. The founder of it said, hardly a day goes by when I scarcely go 15 minutes without thinking of God. Right? That's really good. So if we can use music to think of God and turn towards God, that's a really good thing. But that can't be all that we do. Again, we're called to move deeper into a different form of prayer. Right? Here's another great one. Singing is catechetical in effect. I love it. It's a $5 word, catechetical. I know Ben knows what it means. Anybody else want to take a guess? John, you don't count. Catechetical, it means it ought to teach us something about our religion. right? Catechetical means it ought to teach us something about religion. So, Kevin, next time John goes, I really want to do Jesus is a friend of mine, you just look him square in the eye and you say, what's the catechetical effect of that song? Right? So, and this is why music is so important, by the way, to our liturgy, right? Because it's a really good way to learn phrases, words, the Bible, okay? Right? Music is a great way for memorization. So I've decided, for me this was about 10 years ago, I've decided I am really going to do this prayer thing right. I'm going to do it upright. Okay? So I started. I sat down in the Lazy Boy. I was out like a light. 5 minutes. Not even 5 minutes, probably. Right? There's a movie that came out recently. It's called War Room. Has anybody seen it? Raise your hand if you've seen it. All right. It's a really great movie. It's about two women, one of whom mentors the other into a prayer life. And as she's teaching this young woman how to pray, the young woman goes into a closet with a beanbag, and 15 minutes later, she's eating Cheetos. Really great movie. I love it. That's basically what happened to me. Okay. So here's some things. Find a comfortable stiff back chair. Comfortable. You want to be comfortable. You don't want to be uncomfortable. Find yourself a comfortable stiff back chair. All right. This is actually a line from a book in the 1300s. It's called The Prayer of the Cloud of Unknowing. All right. So as far back as the 1300s, they knew this trick, right? Be comfortable, not too comfortable. Second thing, set aside a time. Morning, I find to be best, right? This is the same thing. How many of you have recently started an exercise regimen? Right? Set aside a time. Same time every day. Morning's best, right? Set aside a time. It gives you accountability. Accountability in your prayer time. And along with that, we need to find a specific place. Again, going back to that movie War Room, both of the women set aside a whole closet for this. When I was beginning in prayer, I was really lucky. I was literally living across the street from a church or next to a chapel. So that was a great place. But obviously, right, unless you live next door, you don't have that luxury. But if you can find a specific place, whether it be a closet, whether it just be one of the rooms of your house, right? For me, I know it's not my office where my computer is. Huge distraction, right? But I found a place in the house where I can set aside a time for prayer. This one was really big for me because I had all sorts of people telling me, this is the way you must pray. Right? Like, you got to pray the rosary every day. Right? That's the 10 Our Fathers, 10 Hail Marys, sorry. Our Father, do it again, do it again, do it again. Right? So that was like, you got to do that. And then other people, like, every day you got to read the Bible for 15 minutes. Every day you got to do this. Every day you got to do that. Right? So this is really important. We have to get rid of those distractions and say, these are suggestions, and I'm going to try some of them until I find something that is right for me. Okay? You're going to know it when you find it. Because here's what's going to happen. You're going to set aside that time every morning that's 15 minutes, and you're going to try these suggestions. Right? And at first, those 15 minutes are going to drag on forever. And then you're going to try a different prayer style. You're going to try a different prayer style. And pretty soon, those 15 minutes, one day you're going to go, where did that time go? That 15 minutes didn't even exist. That's when you found your prayer style, is when that time just flies by and it's gone. I know when I was beginning, I was lucky enough to have an hour and a half set aside every morning for prayer. I would read the Bible for a half hour, and then I would meditate for an hour. I never knew where most of that time went. Okay? So that's, for me, that's what it is. That might not work for you. Okay? You're going to have to tweak and find your prayer style. And keep trying. There's no harm in trying. But here's the other thing. Once you find your prayer style, don't be afraid to tweak it, right? As your life changes, you're going to need to tweak it. I told you I had an hour and a half to pray. I don't have an hour and a half to pray every morning anymore, right? That didn't exist a year after I started praying. I didn't have an hour and a half. So today, what do? I still read the Bible. I read the Bible between 5 and 10 minutes, and then maybe I meditate for another 10 to 15 minutes, right? Because that's what fits my life right now. And as my life changes, I'm going to need to tweak it some more, right? So don't be afraid to tweak it. Don't think, because this is the way I started, I have to continue on, right? Tweak. But here's a really important thing. Even though you tweak, don't just go change your prayer style, right? Once you find one that works for you, don't go to change it. And this is why. There's going to come a time when you say, my prayer style is not working for me anymore, right? It seems really silly. Like, why do I pray? Is it for me? Like, I don't pray, and I shouldn't be praying for myself, right? That doesn't mean I shouldn't offer a prayer for myself. But the primary reason why I pray isn't so that I'm a better person. It's, again, to join in communion with God, right? So you're going to say, this prayer isn't working for me anymore. And that's a time when you actually need to double down on prayer. You might feel like this is a time when you feel like 1 Peter 5:8, the devil is roaring around you like a lion, looking for someone to devour. Right? Saint Antony of the Desert lived in about the 3rd century. Okay? And he got to a point in his prayer where he was like this. He asked his friends to lock himself into a crypt one night. And he was physically assaulted by demons. Physically assaulted by demons. He almost died. His friends brought him out of the crypt the next day, and he said, what are you doing? Put me back in the crypt. Right? And this happened for 3 days straight until he said, the devil will no longer assault me. I will no longer be assaulted by the devil. And the demons literally disappeared. Okay? You might also feel like Paul, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, everyone has abandoned me. Right? You might feel abandoned by God. You might feel far from God during this time. That's exactly when you need to stay with your prayer style. Because what's happening here is you are working through your own demons. Whether those demons are internal, whether those demons are external, you are working through those demons. The next two questions, I think, when you get to this point, these are the questions you're going to want to ask. How long does it last, and how long will I get to the other side? I said I was a brother. I've met a lot of people who have very seriously delved into prayer. And I've read some books on the matter. St. John of the Cross wrote a really great book. It's a classic. It's called Dark Night of the Soul, where he addresses this. I mentioned the book earlier, Prayer of the Cloud Unknowing. They address this topic, right? Here's the thing about time. I've met people who have said no more than 6 months. I've met people who have said it was 20 plus years, right? Mother of Teresa, right? In India, she said, beginning in her 30s, she not once felt the presence of God until she was almost in her 70s. So for over 30 years, she felt this absence of God in her life. She was tested for over 30 years. Right? I met another nun. She lived in a convent, right, where all she did was pray. She said for over 20 years she felt this way. And then one day she woke up, she was in the garden, and she just felt like God was surrounding her with his presence. And ever since that day, she has felt that. Okay? My own personal experience with this, this lasted a year and a half for me. For a year and a half, I was felt very, very far from God for a year and a half. But I kept on praying. And eventually one day I got to the other side of this. What worked for me isn't going to work for you. It's not going to work for anybody else. Right? It's going to be unique to whatever your demons are. If you feel like your demons are physical, then you need to attack those demons head on. Right? If you feel like your demons are internal, maybe you struggle with depression, maybe you struggle with anxiety, right? Then maybe you need to read the Bible more. Okay, whatever your demons are, that's going to determine how you get through the other side. For me, I can tell you exactly when it happened. I was on retreat. I was in my room. I was reading. I was reading a commentary on the Bible. And I came across somebody who was paraphrasing 1 John, the letter that we read today. And he said, "And this is love, not that you have loved God, but that you have first been loved." And I stopped and I was like, boy, that's really resonating with me. And then I put it in context of Matthew, where Matthew says, be like a little child, right? Jesus tells us, unless you become like a child, right, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And I realized the reason why I felt wholly other, wholly different from God, wholly separated from God, is because I didn't let God love me. I thought I was the one who had to love God. Well, that's not the case. And it was like scales falling from my eyes. I realized what my problem was, and I was able to move through that period. Here's the other thing. It's not linear. You might come to a time when you're praying, you've gone through that period of spiritual darkness, that period of spiritual depression, and you might come to another one. But now you're equipped better to handle it. You have the tools. You know what your spiritual demons are, and you are better equipped to move through it. And that only happens because you stick with your prayer. Right? That's why prayer is so important. And here's the other thing. Every time we go through that cycle, every time we go through that circle, we're coming closer and closer into that community with God. Dante wrote the Divine Comedy. And in it, he imagined what heaven, purgatory, and hell looked like. And when he wrote about heaven, this is what he imagined it looked like. It was layers of being of pure light ascending towards God. But each layer, each person in that layer, you know, all along that ascent towards God, didn't feel the love of God any differently, even though they might be physically closer. And that's what I feel like these times of spiritual darkness are. We're moving from one layer, one circle, one ring, further. We're ascending that ladder, that mountain, right? And going from one ring to the other, that's work, that's hard, and that's painful. That's painful. But ultimately, it brings us into closer community with God. I just want to circle back to a few topics here. So prayer is something intentional. It's not something that you can happen on. It's something you must do. And it has to be intentional. And it also has to do with our relationship with God. It has to do with the building of that relationship with God. We can only participate in the Trinity. We can only participate in the community. We can only experience the love of God through prayer, through consistent prayer, through our prayer, has to be our prayer. And there's going to be some pain involved. We're shedding who we were. We're becoming something new. That's going to be a painful process. Right? But ultimately, the goal is communion with God, which is the highest goal. That's the loftiest goal we can reach. And getting to the top of that summit is the biggest spiritual high you can ever feel. But you can only get to the top through pain, through work. And one final thought. Today we're going to celebrate communion together around the table. And in that communion, in our participation at the communion table, we are going to participate in the sacrifice of God's one spoken word through all time. God spoke the word of love, knowing what was going to happen on the cross. And he did that so that we can experience God's community, God's communion with each other in a better way. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave, for sharing with us. And why don't we take a moment and do pray? Let's do it. God, we give you thanks for this moment, for your invitation to share and participate in your community, in the divine community, Father, Son, and Spirit. And God, we ask that you would give us a yearning deep inside of us to circle more deeply into that union, that we might bear fruit, that you would bear fruit in our lives through prayer, and that we would be courageous to endure whatever we must endure to move towards the summit of a fuller and deeper and ultimately perfect communion with you. We ask it all through Jesus, the Word made flesh. Amen.